This podcast is brought to you by Kefir Her. Whether you're feeling the effects of menopause or your menstrual cycle, discover what's key for you in less than 5 minutes with tailored supplement recommendations, information and insights on kefirher.com.
Hi, I'm Renee.
And I'm Donna. Welcome to the Key for Her podcast.
In this series, we aim to educate and open up honest conversations with both medical professionals and real life women.
We want to shine a light on those topics that sometimes go unspoken about and help empower women to know what is key for their health and well-being.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Key for Her podcast. And today, Donna and I will speak with Deirdre O'Kay. She's one of Ireland's favourite comedians. My personal favourite, actually. She's the queen of comedy.
Not going to interrupt you.
Keep it lit. Deirdre never strays too far from her live stand-up roots. Her new show, Demented, a box-fresh hour of side-splitting laughs, has been touring around Ireland and the UK in 2022. And she has a big gig coming up in the Olympia in January.
Box fresh is another good term for this, yeah. Isn't it? Get the date
brand
in.
New. She's a brand new show. We've already seen it. It's absolutely hilarious. It's on January the
21st. Is the one in the Olympia, but okay. They're all on my website. Yeah, deirdreokane.net. Just the end, plugging me now. Come on, let's do what we're meant to do.
Love it. So we've been trying to get Deirdre on the podcast for a while and finally we've pinned her down.
Yeah, we pinned you down at your show as well.
You're very impressive. Let me tell the listeners how. What happened? So you both came to see my show in Galway. Yeah. That's right. You're in Galway Comedy.
They accosted you.
And they accosted me. But if you've anybody was going to, and I'm always on the lookout, I might as well tell you. I always on the wary because I get accosted.
I'd say you do.
Sometimes you really like it, I'm sure too.
Sometimes I do. You'll leave that there. But these two now, you see, when you encounter people who just have a particular energy that's very positive and full of vitality, you know, you're engaged straight away. And then when I realized what you were doing and what you'd created, I thought, who are these two now? Mad, fascinated. When they handed me the box of collagen, I was utterly hooked.
And a gin in one hand and the collagen in another.
I had the collagen in one hand. Jeez, I just remembered that's a joke I'm leaving out of my stand-up show. Yeah. I must put it back in.
Get it in.
Yeah,
must
put it back in. We had an instant big love in, I think. Would that be correct?
Yeah. A lot of fangirling. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
sure. Sit down, have chats.
We were watching you back in the day and like, oh my God.
Oh, that was the other thing that really impressed me because I thought you were so much younger than me that you were new.
That's collagen, you see. You think we're younger than we are.
Yeah. I was coming to the theater and I said, are you sitting down? Are you actually sitting down? Oh my God. And that's real early stuff, right?
Yeah. That's really early material. I was so impressed. Because on this tour, I've noticed I have a younger audience appearing. And I thought, is it the Instagram? Are they? Because they're following me on the Instagram. So I just assumed that that's where you guys came from.
Yeah, I saw you in Edinburgh when I was about 2002, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I was about 22 at the time. Yeah,
we're actually ancient.
But wonder what you, where you came across me first.
I don't know. I just kind of like there was billboards and stuff around then. You'd always see them like, you know, the smaller ones kind of going around town and stuff.
I think because I left stand-up for 10 years, so I made a real hames of my career. I had 10 years where I sort of took off and then I had babies and I sort of stopped.
Yeah.
Went back to being an actress for a while. So my stand-up career stalled. So I forget that there were fans from the time before I stopped.
Yeah.
I just think everyone's new. So it's very refreshing.
Always great to talk about me,
isn't it?
I love your style. Even back then, you were doing the trouser suit with the runners and the t-shirt. And I always thought, you're just so cool. And
I haven't changed much.
No, you haven't. And when we were in Galway, you did the same look with the red. It just looked amazing.
But you know what's really
interesting? You're getting good mileage out of that red shirt, though, aren't you?
The red shirt. Well, I have two of them, just in case you think it's just the one. And I'm not going to apologise for the red shirt because I have no time to be thinking what I wear on the stage. I just can't. So I have a uniform.
And the Converse.
The stage uniform. Yeah. And the Converse.
Yeah, so we're fans since God knows when. We are actually ancient. It's just we've had so much college.
We look so young.
But you are a good bit younger than me. Would you be 10 years younger than me?
I am, what am I, 38?
I'm 42.
You're babies.
Yeah. Ah, sure. Yeah. We're just wanting
we
to
know a good comedian when we hear.
Yeah, but you're 10 like, years younger than me, roughly.
I really loved Paths to Freedom and I really loved Intermission. And I just love your comic timing because you say what you have to say and then you just stay silent. You're not trying to fill in the gap. You know, you just let the joke be the joke and you give people the time to actually just laugh. And it's like this mic drop. I just love it.
Good, very, yeah. This is very good for my ego.
Yeah.
I'll keep doing it so, but only because I'm not qualified to do anything else.
I love that.
Sure look. Yeah. So we're going to chat all about perimenopause and menopause today because it's now like a cool and trendy topic to talk about.
Well, as I say on the stage, you're nobody now. If you haven't got the menopause, it's all the rage. Yeah, you're no one if you haven't got it.
But for years, myself and Ren have been in this. Everything to do with menstrual cycle, perimenopause, menopause, that's been our gig.
So you're ahead of the curve because you've started talking about this and developing actual science,
yeah.
You know, to help people, which is, I'm so impressed by both of you and what you've done and all of this. And I listened to your last week's podcast when I was on my way in the car and I thought, God, I wish I'd known about this. I wish I'd known about your podcast. How long is it going?
It's about six months
maybe now at this stage. Like we're getting a lot of feedback from people saying, oh my God, I'm so glad I found you. I resonate with this. I wish I found you years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I think women are actually desperate. So I did a Q&A for the Irish Times recently with a couple of the experts that you've had on your podcast, I think several times over. And the room was humming. I mean, the women in the room were so desperate to talk. And so desperate for information that I realized, how has this actually happened? How is it 2022 and we are still very uneducated about menopause, very ignorant, through no fault of our own, for some reason has remained the last taboo? How has that happened? Like, I'm shocked. I'm shocked by how ignorant I was myself. I'm shocked still by the questions that were being asked. They seem because I'm now kind of quite informed. When someone asks a question that seems very basic, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is not being discussed. People do not know what's happening. And I'm just probably a little bit angry about it, to be honest with you, on behalf of women.
Yeah.
That we've been so neglected.
Yeah, really,
it's shocking.
Like yesterday, our business is full on. So like really on the weekends, we don't always take a full break from it. I'm always checking the emails. And one came in yesterday and she's all the symptoms. The doctor is still telling her he can't do anything for her until her period stop.
Okay, so she needs to change doctor. But let's just discuss that for a minute,
right? That's, we get the same thing all the time. Mm. It's just, as Dr. Caoimhe Hartley, she sent out the guidelines. She wrote them in conjunction with the government lately. And all these guidelines were sent out to doctors by the ICD. So it's the Irish College of General Practitioners. I don't think all of them read them.
Wow. You know? So every GP in the country would have received guidelines from the government, right?
Yeah.
So a big message now for anyone who's listening is don't necessarily stick with your own GP for this.
That's it.
Oh, God, take your file and move if you're not happy. And the problem is a lot of women, it's the family doctor. They've been with them for years. They feel like they're being rude if they ask for their file and they're not getting the attention they need. They're being dismissed.
Why are you suggesting to get your file?
Just your medical record. So you can go to a new doctor.
You could just kind of ring up another one and say, here, I want an appointment, even with the women's health clinic.
Now, that's what I sought at a women's health clinic because I just thought, well, first of all, I'm not going to talk to a man about this. I have zero interest. It's not in your life. I would rather talk to a woman who might have some experience, maybe not. They don't all, it's not a level playing field. So you don't know what you're dealing with. But that was my first instinct was, no, I'm not talking to a bloke with this. But I'll tell you, the first time I went to a GP was a female. I was living in London and I was in a health clinic where probably was three or four doctors. So you didn't know which one you were going to get. Mm. That's how it kind of works in the UK a little bit, I think. So I did get a female and I told her, I think I might be perimenopausal. And she said, well, what's happening? First of all, she said, what age are you? I was about 45, coming up for 45. Mm-hmm. Might have been 43 or 4, can't remember exactly. But she said to me, no, you're too young. Was the first thing she said. We all know now that's wrong. And then she said, what's happening in your life? Now, my dad was very ill. He was dying, really. And that was happening. I was thinking about moving back to Ireland. So there was a lot of big stresses, She absolutely dismissed menopause straight away and said to me, no, you're definitely not. You're too young. And I'd say it's more to do with your dad and this and that and the other. Now, I left there feeling temporarily relieved because, okay, it's not this, it's that and it's that, and I'm not giving that much attention. But I mean, I moved home to Ireland very shortly afterwards and the symptoms were not going away. So I finally got into a female clinic and straight away.
Yeah.
Straight away, I don't know, 100% you're in it. Like, there's no
question. You get such validation, though, when you actually find a doctor who's going to listen to you. They say, oh, yeah, that's perimenopause. And you're kind of like...
But the huge problem is relief. Being misdiagnosed for something like depression. And they've been putting on antidepressants or sleep tablets and all these things for symptoms needed, that are...
But a lot of the time, they're perimenopause symptoms.
Yeah, and that was the big revelation in Davina McCall's documentary, wasn't it? I think she said 70% of women who present with menopausal symptoms are prescribed an antidepressant. And an antidepressant doesn't fix it. That's pretty shocking. That statement is shocking to me. And also the fact that it doesn't have to be studied as a module to become a doctor. So there's a lot of doctors who just don't know anything about that. They wouldn't know any more than you or I, or any woman who's gone on the internet, for example.
But you were quite informed going into the doctor the first time saying, I think I'm in perimenopause. A lot of women don't even know what's going on. They just think they're going mad.
You had an idea.
Because of my age. And I probably just Googled it, you know, and for whatever I saw, I thought, this is definitely.
What were the first symptoms?
Irritability.
Full half rage, like,
the PMS, that's not just limited to 5 days. It's just ongoing. I think I was also very aware because I think my mother definitely was irritable and snapped very easily. Mm. And I thought, I cannot be this person. Mm. I cannot be snappy with my kids and my husband. It's not fair.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it in myself.
It wasn't
me. And with that, I would say quite a low mood. Now, other factors, certainly, you know, my dad being unwell and the stresses of daily life can do that. But I think I just knew instinctively. Mm-hmm. I thought the irritability being ongoing. You know when you've gone from PMS to it's not going away.
Yeah.
That's clear.
Yeah.
So that was clear.
Yeah.
And I thought, I cannot live with this.
But it creeps up on you so slowly that all of a sudden you kind of look back and you kind of go, where have I gone? Do you know what I mean? This kind of your normal self, and you might think back, and it's only when perhaps you might have started HRT, you kind of go, whoa, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Do you know?
It's quite brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to, I hate to be the heavy voice around this, but I think it's quite a brutal thing. And the length of time and the different symptoms and the fact that it's not a level playing field. And some women will get an easy time and some people will get a horrific time. Mm. I presume the majority are middle of the road is probably where I place myself, and it's bad enough. Mm. So the fact that the conversation is happening and we're talking about what you can do is brilliant.
You came back to Ireland, then you found someone who really understood what you were going through. So that was amazing. So what happened then?
I went to a women's clinic and straight away I was put on estrogen and various other things, which made a difference more or less straight away, I would say.
Like within a matter of weeks.
I'm telling you a lie. That's not true. Before I came back, I went down the bioidentical hormone route.
I told you this. No.
Well, I talk about it on stage. I started looking at all the American stuff. Mm. I don't know why. I was probably drawn to Oprah and Gail because I like them. They're a bit like you, besties. They were doing their thing. So they were all about bioidentical hormones. You know all about these, probably, do you? So
pellets and everything over there. Do you get the inject you with the pellet or something?
Oh, God. No, I didn't have the pellets, but I had the bespoke stuff made for me in a lab in London. So what happened was I discovered there were only two people in Ireland who were across the bioidentical thing, a doctor in Dublin and a doctor in Cork. For whatever reason, one of the people I was talking to in London said, oh, there's a guy in Dublin. So I went to him. I went to him and I started the bioidentical hormones. Now, they did work, but they were 3, if not 4 times the cost of regular HRT. And the only reason I avoid, again, more ignorance. The only reason I avoided the HRT was I didn't realize it was all plant-based now.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was in it and I just would like something. I was kind of just in a vein
of fear of probably from back in the day.
The hangover fear of the breast cancer associations, all of the hangover fears that are...
You've heard about that study, right?
Oh, yeah. I'd heard about the study. Yeah.
Shocking.
I think all of us. And one of the reasons it was quite clear in my mind was that I had a friend who was going through menopause when I was in London and she couldn't take it because Her mother had died of breast cancer quite young, and she had a real fear. Mm. So I guess that's where my information came from.
Yeah.
So if you've got one friend going, no, I absolutely cannot take that. Mm. Breast cancer's in my family. So I thought, oh, okay, right.
We do that have that herd mentality, don't we, as women? We just sort of, if one's doing something and then it sort of filters out.
And if something bad happened to one person, oh, Jesus Christ, I can't be doing that. Like, no.
Yeah, which is natural, right? I mean, that you're going to listen to your friends off. in particular. Anyway, so that was, I think, in my mind. I thought, okay, I'll look into the organic stuff. So if you put in, if you go into the Google and you put in organic estrogen, you'll find bioidentical hormones. Nothing wrong with them, but just incredibly expensive. Yeah. So I did that for a little while. And then I
thought... For how long? 6 months?
I'd say I did it for a year. Oh, no, easily a year.
It's a good amount of time.
Easily a year. Mm. And then I just thought, this is not affordable. Yeah. I cannot afford this. Mm. So that was when I took myself off to a female clinic. I thought, look into this a bit further deep. Yeah. But I mean, I was doing all this on my own. You know, like I was kind of just the Googling going, I think a female clinic would be better. And I think someone mentioned Deirdre... Lundy, is it Handy or Lundy?
Deirdre Lundy.
Lundy, yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Handy, Lundy, she's Lundy. Like, got there eventually.
One of the queens of menopause.
Right. And somebody mentioned that to me and that she was in Bray. And of course, I lived in Dunleary. So it was up the road. So I thought, well, now, come on, get yourself
Handy
there.
Handy, yeah.
So that's where I went next. And the, my cost was split in less than half.
Say,
I think
the
HRT, the regular stuff, is about a third of what I was paying. And I was also paying the guy I was visiting maybe 200 quid a visit. He was like charging consultant fees. So I thought, I can't afford this. So that was the, I've forgotten that part. So yeah, you don't need bioidentical hormones.
Mm.
Sounds very fancy and all, but they're not better than the regular HRT.
You've been on some road with this now.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So the comedy road.
And
the comedy road.
And the menopause road. It is a journey though. And a lot of the conversations we've had over the last few months, it's not just one thing that's going to work and make it all go away. You kind of have to have a little toolbox full of different things that help you to navigate it better. And so I suppose this podcast, what we're trying to achieve is to try and look at all the different options, whether they be natural or, you know.
I do admire you for pushing that natural thing because I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm only saying that because, no, that's unfair, right? There are some people who do brilliantly with acupuncture, thank you for your help.
Yeah.
Huge studies around acupuncture and
acupuncture. Yeah. I do.
I think it's finding what works for you and doing as much as you can, be it a bit of holistic, a bit of HRT, making sure you're getting enough sleep, eating well, getting a bit of exercise and minding your stress.
Exercise is massive.
Yeah, it is. If you can get those four things going and then add in whatever else you need, do you know what I mean?
No, I think that's right. And possibly a combination of the whole lot because the HRT is not a magic wand.
Mm-hmm. And it takes time to work.
Yeah. To work. And then maybe it's not, you might need something else. I definitely was adjusted in my measurements and what I was taking several times.
Okay.
Until I've hit on what I'm on now. I must be coming to the end, surely to God. This is another question. When does it end?
You finally find the right cocktail of stuff now.
I find the right cocktail stuff and then they'll say, a doctor said to me recently, you need to come off this soon. I thought,
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
So I have to look into that. And then I asked someone about it and they said, no, you wouldn't come off it, but you could probably reduce what
wean
you're on.
Wean yourself off it.
Well, I'm not going to wean myself off it. I'm not
just
going to come off
thing.
It.
Okay.
Because I had a big fear of dementia and Alzheimer's because there's an awful lot of it.
Mm. Yeah.
On both sides of my family. So the brain fog, when the brain fog happens and I can't
you
find the word,
think,
like I just couldn't find the word acupuncture, I immediately go to the dark place.
Right.
And the, God, please. But yeah, so if it's going to help the brain fog, I'm not coming off it. I mean, I'm a comic. Like, I need to be quick.
Yeah.
And the bones.
And the bones. So the osteoporosis then.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Don't want to be falling over on stage either.
Don't fall. As all over every hospital you go into, that's all the plastered all over the walls. Don't fall. Yeah, break a leg. Yeah. And then the skin, the dry skin and the thinness of your skin and your hair. And so no, I'm not coming off. I'm far too vain.
Yeah.
And why did he say you had to come off it?
She again, I think she just felt you don't need to be, her opinion was you don't need to be on this forever. But I'm going to go back and talk to her because she's a brilliant GP.
Yes.
But I go to a different clinic now. So I have my regular GP.
Oh.
Okay, the mic. My mic just did a little comedy turn there.
Yeah.
Here comes Shane to fix it.
She's nearly got walloped.
Give them a bit of Viagra there. Somebody's
trying. That's exactly what it looked like. Floppy Mike.
It's a bit floppy. Reminds me of Pretty Woman. Floppy and she's Mike. Like, mine are broken. Mine are broken.
Now that you've mentioned Viagra, I have a point to make about
okay,
that.
Okay, let's go. Let's do this.
You know, because we're all women, we're so horrified, aren't we? Even I am still, I am a little bit uncomfortable, I'm not going to lie. Being a poster girl for menopause was never a feckin' plan. I'm not delighted about it, but I've gotten to the point where I go, well, you better own it because you're on stage talking about it now. And I do want to be part of what you're doing. I want to be part of the first, you know, the trailblazers yeah. who go, enough already. Mm. Let's just deal with this shit and let's take the taboo off. I think that's vital. So I'm on the side of women. So I've decided to man up.
You're all in,
ironically. But, you know, it's interesting because the taboo I know comes from old, on the shelf, dried up old hag. That's the fear. That's the fear that the yeah. labels, right, that none of us want. But men also go through so much stuff, right? Mm. And the Viagra is flying off the shelves, flying off the shelves. They don't seem to have any hang-ups or qualms or problems with this. And I love what they called it. Viagra. Agra. They've practically put the word aggro. It wasn't a wonder they didn't call it Viagra. Really. Whereas some of the names for our stuff really pissed me off. Like Vagifem.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
For Christ's sake.
Do you have to put the word vag
for
in it?
For Christ's sake, God. Can we just lose the word vag from all the medical stuff? It's just not fair.
Hootenanny,
Viagra. Can you believe it? Like,
so we'd have to come up with a more, I don't know, a stronger word for this type of scenario.
Yeah.
But like, I suppose HRT is grand though, isn't it? It's yeah. just a bit
HRT
nothing.
Is fine. It is yeah. okay. It is okay. But going into the chemist to ask for Vagifem.
Yeah.
That's not ideal.
No.
That's not ideal. There's a young fella behind
online
the counter.
Pharmacies, eh?
Yeah. And a young fella behind the counter who's looking at you, giving you an old wink. Are you getting the, oh, yeah. you're getting your stuff for your
How's your father?
How's yourself? Seriously, like
I'm glad we've gone with Key.
Key for her. That's much, much better. Key collagen. Unlock your best self. You did brilliantly there.
Unlock your
vag. How's your vag now?
Oh
that could
God.
Be the name of the
it's
next.
Actually great.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point.
It's not easy anymore.
This is the brilliant thing. The science is on our side. We're perfect. We're perfect. You can ride now till you die. Basically.
I would just like to say the importance
ride
of
ride or die. How about that as a name for the product?
I'd like to say the importance of using lube over 40 as we do get extremely dry, and that is normal. So just make sure you're coating yourself up with the stuff. Whether it be coconut oil or something else.
Do you recommend the coconut oil? Slip and slide, ride or die. The good news, the very good news is that the science is all there. It's all on our side.
It's a good time to be God going help. Into menopause now.
Yes, the poor women back in the day.
Oh, God.
I mean, Jesus I
didn't
Christ, they had nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And their sex lives just
one,
ended
One fella said
overnight.
To yeah. a customer of ours, she emailed in and she said, the husband had said, my mother had 9 kids and she got through it. So why can't you just get through it yourself? Just get on with it. And like, they're not getting it.
There's so
you know?
Much ignorance around
so
that
So much
statement.
Ignorance.
And he
yeah.
has no idea what his mother went through.
That's the
and
thing.
She had 9 kids before the age of 40, no doubt.
No doubt.
Didn't happen
yeah.
until after that.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many random symptoms of it, right? Have you ever had the driving anxiety when you're trying to merge onto the M50 and all of a sudden you're just there?
I have
the sugar not coming.
I've had a little bit,
scared.
But my bestie, this is a huge one for her. I'm driving an awful lot at the moment because I'm yeah. on the road, I'm on tour. Mercifully, I'm all right. But my mate, my bestie is absolutely, she won't go onto it. She said, I'm getting to the point now, I'm not going to go onto the M50. I said, that can't happen, love.
Yeah.
You're going to have to push on through this. And she
How
said,
are you
no,
going to get
can't.
To Cliffy Valley?
Yeah,
so there's shops to go to.
She's just had 2 or 3 very bad experiences and gone, it's sugar.
Oh, yeah. God.
So
That's
yeah.
dreadful.
Yeah, it is dreadful. It's interesting because I don't think it occurred to either of us that it was a menopausal thing.
Yeah.
You see, your confidence dives.
Yeah.
This is it. And a lot of these things, they're not funny and they're terrible. Like, it's horrific time.
Oh, none of it's funny.
But
I'm just trying to make
no,
it.
You have to laugh.
You
have to
you
laugh.
You have got to laugh, though. Yeah. And I think what you're doing and what we try to do on TikTok is to try and communicate what is happening, a very important thing, this whole revolution, and lighten it a little bit by giving the information through that way. What way do you see it, and what way is it received? I'm just fascinated to know, because you've like 20 minutes of your show now is dedicated towards,
or 25.
Closer to 30 minutes. Oh,
it just keeps growing legs. It's just going to be the menopause show at this stage.
Yeah. What was your question?
How is it received? Is there anyone?
Oh, by the audience.
Yes.
Oh, I think they're very, very relieved. They're very relieved that we're laughing at it together.
Someone's talking about it. And
it's normalized.
Things.
I'm basically throwing that message out about the science very heavily to say it's on our side. So this is not like the old days when science was not on our side. And there was a truism to the fact that life was over, because I think when women lost their libido and were not comfortable having sex, they went, well, fuck that. I'm not interested. The shop's closed. Sorry, yeah. I'll see you. And that's not happening anymore.
What a great way, though, for you to be able to communicate that this isn't just you. You're not alone. And women probably get huge relief from coming to your show, and you're voicing all the things that are happening, but in a funny way. And they're just there. They probably just relate so much.
And you know, the other thing is that when I started doing it, I didn't realize, I wasn't thinking, oh, this needs to be said. And it was only as I've gone, as the tour has progressed, and a lot of women come up to me afterwards, and a lot of men come up to me afterwards.
Really?
And they go, you really helped me there. That was a massive help, because he listened. So the women
she's
who bring,
elbowing him
the women
the
who bring
time.
Their partners to my show really benefit,
yeah.
Because I think they go, oh my God, okay, I didn't realize.
You're in it together, you know, and
well, this
unfortunately,
is it. This is it. Men
actually
live with us. They want us to be well. I think the majority of men are empathetic and do want to be supportive and do want to understand. I mean, my God, I had one man come to me and said, I never even heard the word estrogen. I didn't know what you were talking about. Why would he? I was a bit taken aback going, really? Really? You don't know about the word estrogen, but why would he? Nobody was talking to him about it. Where was he going to hear it from? It's not exactly on top of his list of things to learn about. Do you know what I mean? So I thought, oh, wow, the ignorance that's around. And I mean that in the real sense of the word, because that's kind of an abused word. Mm. The lack of information is just off the charts.
There's a lot of people that are trying to push for this education to be put into schools now, because if it was put into schools, they'd know at such a younger age that they'd know possibly what their mom is going through. They'd be more sympathetic to their friends or, you know, partners as they grow up. And it makes sense that if they're going to be getting the period and the sex talk in school, you might as well be told a bit further on, you know, about perimenopause.
Why not?
Menopause, yeah.
Why not? And they can throw in the Viagra tablet if they want to make it a level playing field. And men also have problems. Can't last long. Let's throw
like
a bit of
mic.
Let's throw a bit of taboo at them. Okay, that's not a healthy road. That's not a healthy road, Deirdre.
But that's so amazing that couples and women, and I'd say loads of groups of friends go together, because Ren said, Deirdre's going to be in Galway. You're down the same weekend. I'm getting tickets. We're going. I was there a night out. Amazing. And we had the best time. And they were literally howling at you.
Yeah.
Howling.
Yeah.
Laughing.
I was saying to Donna before we came in, I probably would have pissed my pants, only that the HRT has really helped my bladder function.
If you're
not on it, bring a pad, because you're going to need it.
If your pelvic floor is not up too much.
It's your poise pants.
Do a few Kegel exercises before you go to the show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it does get a huge response. And I mean, the show is not entirely, it's only the first quarter of the show, but it does get a huge response, yeah. And I'm awful proud of it, you know, because I wrestled with it. I did wrestle with it. I just thought, oh God, really? Am I ready to be the sort of poster person for this? Which has only started to happen where people have asked me, will you talk on this Q&A? Will you talk on this panel? Will you speak on this? Will you speak on that? And you're going to go, oh God,
brilliant.
Do I want to sell that? Yeah, I've absolutely made peace with it now and gone, yeah.
But it's brilliant
you
because
really
you're helping so many people by talking about it. And that's what we hope to do as well. I think it's really important, and it is in the zeitgeist now, and it is getting more.
It's absolutely happening. We are in
the right place,
there
is
a zeitgeist moment. And I'm very proud. I feel very happy to be a part of that. So yeah.
Our company is called Femtech Healthcare. And Ren and I started down this road about 5-6 years ago now. And we knew that there was a movement coming. We could see it because we were watching what was happening in the States and we were watching what was happening in women's health. And there was a movement following Clue app and things coming from America called Femtech. And it was all technology and information all around women's health. And we thought to ourselves, yeah, we're going to be Ireland's first Femtech company. That's what we're going to be.
Amazing.
And so we called the company Femtech Healthcare. And when we were out pitching for investment for this company.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you didn't run with VagTech.
No, I know. Well, we seriously considered it. Well, first. We just thought, yeah. No.
Well, but done.
When we were out pitching for investment to do this, and everybody would think, sorry, MedTech, is it? Is it MedTech you're talking about? I'm like, no, FemTech, it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. And only
and then
last,
they said FinTech as well. Yeah, FinTech, all the FinTech, yeah. MedTech, all the techs. Mm. Like, and we were like, no, it's FemTech.
No one wants to talk to us. They're like, oh, jeez, those two are talking about periods and blood and menopause and everything over there on the stand from going near them. And anyway, a few years later, only last week, we got invited to FemTech Hub down in University College Cork. And it's a whole new hub for FemTech companies in Ireland. And anybody with an idea for anything to help with women's health can go to them and they'll help them with their idea and funding. Wow. And all this kind of stuff. So there's a huge movement and we are so proud to be part of it. But yeah, all day long we talk about period blood, menopause, perimenopause, skin, hair, the whole shebang.
And that happened part of this be because you said you had terrible PMS.
Yes.
So you would have had an interest in this.
Yeah.
So what percentage of women would we say, well, it's a small percentage who have real problems, right?
Very much so, yeah. Well,
with really bad.
I think looking back now, I had undiagnosed endometriosis for sure. And that's only from all the research and the chatting and the people we've talked to over the years. Like, I literally couldn't move for 3 days. I was addicted to Feminix, completely reliant on it. I couldn't function without. And that's since been taken off the market. We weren't supposed to drive it. Sure, I was on it all the time. So at a point about 6 years ago.
Taken off the market. Why is that?
It's like too strong.
It's too strong. Yeah.
Wow.
So Donna had to use it together to function for 3 or 4 days out of the month.
But what percentage of women are the same as you were?
Well, endometriosis thing is 1 in every 10 now, mm-hmm. am I correct?
That's quite high.
It is
quite high.
It's a lot. Like,
but it takes about 8 years to get diagnosed. Yeah. Like, it's really, and so there's a lot, especially in Femtech Hub, they're doing a lot of stuff and research around it now. But this is the thing, up to 10, 15 years ago, there was no women included in these clinical trials because we have a menstrual cycle and we're just too confusing to just study. So they just went, you know what, we'll just bring men in. Because they're just easier.
It's just
and that's what the problem has been. And now that they're going, actually, that was a really wrong approach. Yeah. Even the doctors down there at the hub were going, yeah, we did that all wrong. Now we need to just change our ways. So, yeah.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? It's just the patriarchy has just been running in such a particular way for so long that it's not questioned.
But we have had enough. And I think that...
Women are real shouty now.
I'm not in perimenopause yet. Ren is in perimenopause. I'm flying the menstrual flag. She's flying
perimenopause. But that's why you two are, you know, you came to this for personal reasons, really.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you'd suffered from the PMS, you know, very
menstrual cramps.
Yeah. Very badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were early menopause,
early
37.
Peri. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's an awful lot of women. Listen now,
so
don't associate.
And I wouldn't have, when I was 37, had someone mentioned perimenopause, I'd be there, I am not old. Don't even mention that around to me.
Okay.
That's an old
thing. So people think
thing.
50, but
they
it's
think,
not 50.
This
is the thing. Dear
they don't know about
everyone's
perimenopause.
Talking about menopause, but not enough people are talking about perimenopause. And perimenopause is the 10 years before menopause. Menopause is the year where you go 12 months without a period. It's up to 10 years. So that's Ren, 37, coming into it earlier, noticing the bladder irritability, noticing all the, you know, the changes in PMS, all these things, dry, itchy skin. It all just started happening very subtly.
So it would be more accurate, right, if when people think menopause, I think 50, but in actual fact,
you're talking 40, 40 really,
100%.
And you might be starting to feel it a couple of years before. And I only realized lately because I have an underactive thyroid and I heard Davina McCall, and she wrote a new book there with Dr. Naomi Potter, I think it was. And she was having a live or a conversation with her online. And she said that if you have an underactive thyroid, you're more than likely to go into perimenopause earlier. And I was like, no one ever told
but
me
no
that.
No one bothered to tell you. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. So
they didn't know. Doctor didn't know that piece of information.
No. So we're trying to really follow as many people and get as much information as possible and then funnel it down and make TikToks and Instagrams to try and give information out there and talk to the experts. So
this,
like
this newer generation of women who hopefully will not go through this again, you know, of not knowing.
And also the not knowing about the PMS, about the period pain, that still not really, hasn't really been dealt with.
No.
There's still a percentage of young girls who are suffering. Imagine.
Yeah.
Young kids, like
a lot
teenage.
Of them, like they don't realise that.
Nobody's understands.
Their
Nobody's
nutrition
talking about
actually
it.
Plays a big role in it. And if they're nutrient deficient, it can actually make their cramps and PMS worse. If you're lacking in your B vitamins, if you're lacking in magnesium, they're really important. So if you're not keeping those topped up, and who's thinking about that
nobody,
in their 20s?
Nobody's thinking about
all you're thinking about at that age is fitting into that dress on Friday and Saturday night. And the problem is they're not feeding themselves correctly. So therefore
there's
their own nutrition.
There's a lot of mothers who wouldn't be across that level of nutrition. They're just doing feeding your kids, trying to get everything
into too busy looking after everyone else.
Oh God, lads. So, it's a long way to go. There really is.
But there is a lot there now.
When I realized I said something there, when I said, you know, don't think of 50, I think of 40. And I just thought maybe that's scary for people because I had a baby at 40. You know, just to put that out there. Yes. So if you're saying, oh, menopause 40, you could be scaring a lot of women who are thinking about having babies. So don't let that.
Yeah. No, what we're trying to do is raise the awareness that symptoms can start creeping in and you could be grand, absolutely fine till you're 50 and you might not feel anything at all. But there is a certain percentage that are going to go early or start feeling it and quite severely. So like you said, the science is there. The information's there now.
Supplements are there now. Supplements are there now.
Well, it's very important to look after yourself and look to make sure that you are taking time to make sure you have no nutrient deficiencies, that you're listening to your body, you're going to talk to your doctor. And if your doctor's not listening, go to another bloody doctor.
Oh, 100%. Try if you can get to a female clinic
who
specialise in it, well then. If you have to travel for the first one, you're travel.
I think it's worth it. And some of them even do Zooms. And I know for some of them, the queue is literally out the door. It's like 4 or 5 months long. But just do keep at it. You know, you'll find one that is, you know.
That's unfortunate. I have heard that it's hard to get an appointment.
It is. Yeah. But just
they are Zooming.
They are Zooming. And I think it's worth just kind of calling around and see who you can get to talk to. Because I think
If you can get a female clinic, there are a lot of female GPs who are now, I think, stepping up. And specialising in.
And even ringing the clinic and saying, which doctor in your clinic, you know, put the receptionist on the spot and say, who has the most up-to-date training in menopause in your clinic? And then she'll be starting to say, oh, actually.
Or is there anyone? Because there might not be someone in that particular surgery who's interested.
Yeah.
What we might do, put a load of links in just the bottom of this to all the places that you could go to, both online and in person. Yeah. So we might do that.
That's a great idea.
Nice and helpful.
Yes, certainly would.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we have Dr. Cuiva Hartley here all the time. She's got a menopause clinic out in Dalkey.
She's out the door. Out the door.
Can't get away. No, you can't get
so this
her.
New one after opening the Rotunda, Hollis Street. I don't know what a psych appointment wise, but we'll put all the
but
links
they're
in
more
anyway.
Specifically for
Deirdre Landy. Lundy Handy went into, she's now in Hollis Street.
That's
Deirdre, and then
she's running, heading
then
up
Cuiva's
all of that.
Working in the Rotunda as well, but they are kind of more for the specific kind of, they're the specialist menopause clinics for those women that might have a more complex case. They might have had breast cancer before or just different health problems where they'll actually work with them to get them like perhaps different types of HRT or else different medications that can help control their symptoms. So it's a case of not all is lost because sometimes there's doctors that don't know about those specialist menopause clinics and you can get a referral from your own GP to go there.
Well, every doctor should have the new guidelines. So maybe call up and say, who's actually read the guidelines and want to talk to them?
Great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the way we're talking about it and we're saying there's a movement and it's a zeitgeist moment. When I did this Irish Times Q&A recently, I had my eyes opened again to how far we have to go. And so I know we're talking about it and we know a lot or whatever. I think I do. But one of the women said to me that she's involved in the CEO 300. Isn't that, I think, not sure that's absolutely the correct name, but where they're trying to get more females to be the CEOs in companies. Mm. That's an actual movement where they're trying to get equality, that there are more CEOs. Yeah. And they will not engage with the word menopause because women are not getting promoted.
I read about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I was shocked beyond belief.
They won't go there. They're like,
they will not.
They don't want to be seen like men, as if they're not as good enough.
Well, they won't get the promotion. They won't get the job because basically they're saying you're not functioning at your highest level. You've got brain fog. You've got this. You've got that. You're not functioning at your highest level. And 40% of women walk away from their jobs because of menopause.
So is that high? I didn't actually know that.
40% leave work. Because they're
and like women at the height of their careers, like with so much knowledge and could be passing that on to other people, you know, as well. Like,
well, all those little side effects, like the low confidence and the this. And I suppose if you're in a very male environment, maybe that's very difficult. But I was pretty shocked by that, that the CEO 300 thing is not working. That's what she said to me. She said, it's not working. If you suggested them to have a discussion on menopause, it's like, no, absolutely not. That's not going to help our case. That's not going to help our case. So that, I think, shows you how far we have to go, you know what I mean, to get men in the conversation. Yeah. So we're working on getting women in this conversation, but we have to get men. Men have to be on our side now. They 100%. Have to step up.
Women need to be discussing it with their partners, though, as well. And to some of them are hiding it. But actually, it'll end up meaning that their relationship will be improved because they won't be hiding it.
No, but that's the key. Yeah. You've just said a lot of women are hiding it.
Yeah.
Still in 2022.
From their own partners.
Yeah. They don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus.
Because they think that they won't be seen as sexy anymore or still kind of young and cool or rideable. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Once you get the lube involved, you'd be grand.
The vaggie femme. The vaggie femme. Called something else.
What days do you do yours?
We'll have to start developing something for libido.
Friday.
Particular days. I just know it's twice a week. And I think, oh God, I'm highly functioning. Excellent.
I know when you got it all going. And Donna was like, how do you know if the tablet went up there? I was like, well, it's not on the floor.
It's a bit like the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, buddy.
So how can people go and see your show? Where is on next? Give us the dates again.
You're so good.
When are we going?
We're going again.
Delighted about that. Well, the next one, well, actually, I don't know, I've just gone into my little website. What's the date? I'm into January. Port Leash, doing a maze. Monaghan on the 7th of January. Castle Blaney. Then I'm in Ballyshannon on the 14th. And the Olympia is on the 21st of January. It's almost sold out, but, you know, there's a few left.
Amazing girls night out. Bring the partners. Bring your friends. We've seen it. How long was your show that you did in Galway? Did you do the full thing there?
No, so you haven't seen my full show.
We didn't get the full whack.
Well, that's why you need to come.
We need the full whack of Deirdre. Yeah.
Oh, you need the full whack. Yeah. It's an hour and 20.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
I think I did 35 minutes.
You did something like that, yeah.
Did longer than I was meant to.
I left wanting more.
I did about 40, yeah.
Yeah.
So where do they go to get tickets?
DeirdreO'Kane.net. So when you go into my website, each show has a link to tickets.
Grant. Is it a big font for everyone? Going through perimenopause.
Oh, there's a very big font. Oh, there's a very big font.
Yeah. We're always getting in trouble for our emails. The font has to be huge.
Are you for real? Oh, God. Well, that's when you get the readers. That's the 40.
We're all there with the glasses.
I remember going in to get the glasses. I was 42 and she said, we did awful well to get to 42.
Fair play.
I'm now back on.
They're lovely. I love the blue glasses.
They're only cheapy, so I've lost my lovely new
one.
Style or die. Ride or die.
I think I'm good. You know me. All of a sudden, I'm getting extra holes pierced in my ears.
Ah, you're going through midlife crisis.
Full on midlife crisis.
I'm definitely going to get a little tattoo on my wrist.
Oh, yeah. All in. Ear curation, we call it.
Ride or die. That's what I'm going to put on my wrist.
Bring it on. We'd be the best of grannies.
my kids were telling me yesterday, you know, some of those videos that you put up, Mom, will you just delete them? Because our friends were sending them to us on Snapchat. I said, I will not. They need to know all about this as well.
Oh,
but that one where you were all dressed up for Halloween, I was there. That's my personal page. I'm not taking that down. I love being Winnie.
You don't have teenagers yet, right?
I do. One's 12 and one's 14.
Oh, okay,
yeah. So they have their friends from secondary school going, is this your mom? I'm there. Yeah.
Well, welcome to my world. But you see what I have to put up with? I'm not allowed to. If anything is posted that refers to them or anything, really? It's like, get that down immediately. And I've also had my daughter say to me, what are you saying on the stage? Are you referring to me? I've had several parents say to me, oh, I heard your mother talking about the thing. I'm like, how stupid are people? Yeah. Don't be saying that to my children, for God's sake.
Yeah, you're like...
I end up saying to your children, I'm awful sorry, but you're fair game. I've got to pay your college fees. This is what puts food on the table, sorry.
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
I call you boy A and boy girl B.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Absolute
pleasure. We asked everyone to give us their three tips. I know the tips that come from the likes of Dr. Caoimhe Hartley are very different to what we come out with. Like, but I suppose for anyone that is going through perimenopause or menopause, what would your three tips be for them?
Well, do you know what? Interestingly, I think if I was meeting somebody now, I think my first thing I would say is listen to this podcast. I'd say listen to this podcast because you've got all the information on it. And, you know, Google straight away on everything. But I think my first thing would be to find a good GP, a female, preferably, who knows what they're talking about. That's number one, isn't it? And then if you've got a podcast like this, you're laughing and because it's just telling you. It's telling you everything you need to know. Mm. That's why it's so good.
Yeah. And then I think number three has to be go laugh at all the problems and go to your show.
Come on. Let's lighten the mood, lads. See me. You know? The girls are good.
Let's talk about all the things no one's talking about through comedy and lightening the mood a bit. I think it's important. It's a good way for people to connect.
Yeah, you have to have the crack.
Oh, Christ. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Such a pleasure. I love you too. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Key for Her podcast. We'd be so grateful if you could hit subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with your friends.
For tips, tricks, and hacks on all things perimenopause, menopause, periods, menstrual cycles, and skin health, follow us at Key for Her on TikTok and Instagram.
Check out our website, keyforher.com, for more information.